Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, social networking world, ready or not, we bring to you Socially Yours, featuring Jameel Wheelball. Socially Yours is a show that shows you how to monetize social media for your business. Socially Yours airs 12 noon Eastern Time with your host, Jameel Wheelball, brought to you live by BGE Radio.
This is Jay coming to you today on Socially Yours. Thank you for turning into my show on Build, Grow, and Enjoy Network. And I have Ross Dixon on the line. He is the founder and CEO of Diamond Roots. And I have him on the show today because I want him to share with us a little misconception that we have about branding, being a publicist, and social media. They're in the same bin, but they're different vegetables. And I'm going to have him explain a little bit about what I mean and why a lot of people get it confused. We here at Build, Grow, and Enjoy focus on all of these things, but separately, because it's important to cultivate all of them, but do it on a totally separate level because they're all totally different. We all need one another, definitely. So, Ross, I want to thank you for coming on my show today. And first, you're very welcome. Explain a little bit about your background and how you got started with what you're doing so our listeners will have a little bit of understanding of who you are and give them a little bit of validation of why I have you on the show.
A little bit about my background is that I attended Georgia State University. I graduated with a marketing and economics degree. And I started doing sales for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution while I was in college. I was managing a door-to-door sales team by the time I was 20 years old and was training managers and training sales reps on how to go door-to-door and close deals. And from that experience, I was able to learn how to deal with people on a one-on-one basis, and how to learn their body language and be able to get them to want to do business with me. And even though it was the basics, just getting them to simply buy a newspaper subscription, it taught me a lot about business as far as being able to relate to clients right there on the spot. So once I graduated from college, I took my skills that I learned at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and went and contracted with the Charlotte Observer in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is a newspaper up there. Did the same thing. I managed sales reps. I went and recruited some kids and taught them how to do door-to-door sales, and that went great to get information as far as how to insulate myself as an entrepreneur. Started my own business and had to create a budget for me to be able to survive. It was difficult at first because I was used to having a corporate vehicle, having a corporate gas car, having a salary come in every week, commission. And then all of a sudden, everything that I was doing, I mean, I was totally responsible for if I was successful or not.
But you wouldn't change that for the world, right? You would love what you're doing.
World.
Exactly. And, you know, I wanted to stop you there and talk a little bit more about entrepreneurialism, which goes hand in hand with your business and with what you and I do, social media, PR, branding. Explain a little bit to people about the benefits of being an entrepreneur.
Well, the benefits of being an entrepreneur is the flexibility, you know. I read in a Robert Kiyosaki book that, you know, rich people, they're not happy because money buys them happiness. They're happy because money allows them time so they can pay people to do the stuff that they don't want to do. When you're an entrepreneur, you know, you have flexibility. And
yes, you do.
You're also able to set your goals as high as you want, and you're able to, you know, achieve as much as you're able to think or imagine. When you're an entrepreneur, it's definitely all on you. But at the same time, if you're willing to work hard, the rewards are just that much more plentiful. So,
can you say that again? You said you can go and achieve as much as you can imagine.
As much as you can imagine. See, your imagination is what usually limits you to what you think you can do. But, you know, once you open it up, sky's the limit, as they say.
It is. And again, I'm going off on a little tangent. We'll come back to that in a later segment. But that's why it's so important to have personal development. Having an entrepreneurial spirit. Because like you said, you have to know how to budget. And you have to be very mindful of the resources that you have. And then you have to learn how to leverage as well.
Definitely. See, that was what I learned later on down the line. With my experience at the Atlanta Voice newspaper, which is the largest African-American publication in Georgia. But I had a chance to learn about leverage with them. and leveraging their brand to be able to get venues and different companies to, you know, allow us to utilize their resources just to be associated with the brand.
To get you a seat at the table.
Exactly, to get a seat at the table.
Mm-hmm.
So with the leverage, as far as when you're starting a business, creating leverage is so important because a lot of times when you're beginning your business, you're not going to have the resources to be able to pay everybody. But if you can leverage what you offer as far as your skill set and your services, then you can still compete with some of the, you know, bigger and larger companies.
I think this would be a great segue into branding. For those of us that are new to all of this, let's act like we're 5 years old. What is branding?
My definition of branding is when a customer or a person or individual thinks of a service that they need, that you're the first person to come to thought as far as providing a service that they need.
And so I think a lot of people get them mixed up because they think PR, branding, social media, they think it there. They're participating in this, they're branding, but that is not necessarily branding. It's the strategy behind branding, am I correct?
There's definitely strategy behind branding. And all of those components that you mentioned, they all complement one another, but they complement your brand.
Exactly.
So branding is not done overnight. It's a process because, you know, you might have a new boutique. You know, your boutique might be one of 1,000 boutiques in your city. So, you know, you have to, you know, create your competitive edge. You got to let your consumers know that you exist. You have to let your consumers know why they should think about using you versus the other competition. So all of that might include marketing, social media, digital internet, advertising, all building up your brand, which is AKA branding.
Exactly. And with you saying that with a new boutique and there's 1,000 of them, what you want to do is find a niche, correct? A niche.
That's the easiest way, yes.
It's a distinct segment of a market. It's a place or position suitable or appropriate for a person or a thing. That's something that sets you apart. And so you have to sit down at the end of the day and you have to say, okay, there's Plato's Closet down the street and there's My Sweet Boutique down the street. What do I need to do to set myself apart? Or it doesn't have to be a boutique. It can be anything. We're just using that as an example. What can I do to set myself apart from these two things? It can even be the major conglomeration. You can still set yourself apart to make yourself a brand, a niche. That thought in somebody's mind when they hear about it or see about it or even see your clothes or hear about your services or your product, like, oh, my God, I have to go and see what that's about. Am I not right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, when you're trying to find your niche, you definitely want to research, go on the internet, go to Google, go and talk to people that's done what you're trying to do, and do your due diligence. I mean, that's where a lot of people, you know, slip up because they, you know, start their business and think, oh, okay, well, I'm starting a business, okay, I'm about to be successful, and it doesn't work like that. Most of the time, you know, someone that's really successful in their business, they probably had a mentor or a couple of mentors.
Yes.
They've done exactly what they're trying to do. So that's, you know, part of the research and due diligence to find out what is the best niche for you to go into and, you know, what's going to be the most profitable niche as well. So
exactly.
Definitely. Do your due diligence. If you think about becoming an entrepreneur, do your due diligence, definitely.
And today we have on Socially Yours, we have the wonderful, the successful Ross Dixon of Diamond Roots. And we're picking his brain about how he got started, what is entrepreneurialism, a niche, what is branding, and he's going into detail about all those things. Now, I heard you say that when people start a business, they think they're going to be successful or rich right off. I have to admit that was me. That was definitely me. And, you know, when I tell people my story, I got started in 2008, but it is just now I'm coming into the understanding of the way business works, about leveraging, about bartering. You got to barter smart because at the end of the day, a switch of services, affiliation doesn't pay the bills. And that's where I had to learn how to become smarter.
A good website for bartering is tradebank.com, a platform for bartering.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that. Did you have that experience as well when you first started out with your business?
I really didn't get that experience until I worked a job, like I mentioned before, with Atlanta Voice. I was selling advertising.
So selling advertising, you'd be surprised with, you know, a lot of it is actually traded out. People, they'll do trade or they'll do half cash, half trade, or they'll do all cash. But a lot of the times they're doing trade. So when you're having to be in a predicament, trying to negotiate, okay, what's the value of what I have versus the value of what you have? And it was kind of the basis for me learning how to barter and how to leverage services on a professional level. Because it's not just like your mom and pop shops that are doing this. We're talking about like major corporations. They do this all the time. They barter and leverage their services against each other. Wow. That's how you win. Because, for instance, you might have CBS Radio leverage and give you some free advertising in return for the services that you provide, but you're able to place their logo on your marketing material, and boom, just like that, you're affiliated with CBS Radio, come off as an established business, and you didn't have to pay a dime for it.
Wow, that is amazing, and I think a lot of people don't know these things, Ross. That is why I wanted to do this show. I wanted to do Social Yours so people, the mistakes that I've made and I'm currently making and correcting, I want to be able to be transparent and share this information with them so they don't have to make the same mistakes, and so that they can be a little bit more successful, a little bit more prepared when they come out the gate. Because it is, it's difficult out there. And you talked about mentoring. Let's go back to what you were said about mentoring. I now do have a couple of mentors, which I think is very important. Who are the type of mentors you want to look for? And why do you want to look for a mentor?
I'll look for the type of mentors that have made millions and lost their shirt. Meaning I want to see people that then made the millions, hit rock bottom, and got back and made it again. Those are the people I'm interested in, you know, having as mentors, because it's one thing to make it, it's another thing to lose it and then make it right back.
Yes.
So, you know, going through trials and tribulations, that builds character. And when you have people that have been in, you know, a lot of people actually, you know, in 2008 when the recession and everything, they lost a substantial amount of money. I have some friends that were doing real estate and other ones that were doing financing, and a lot of them lost their shirt. I've been fortunate enough to actually meet some people that did lose a lot of their wealth during the recession but have made it back since, and just talk to them about what they would have did different had they known recession was going to hit. And see, that's the thing, proper planning, proper structuring of your business, how to insulate yourself as an entrepreneur. One of my mentors, he broke it down to me, like the only reason he was able to survive is because he didn't have a mortgage and a car note. And when he went into business, he made it a goal of his in the beginning of his business to get rid of his mortgage and his car note so he could keep his overhead low, be able to bounce back if something did ever happen. He was able to purchase a number of tax liens, which that's a whole other conversation. But
We can have that discussion another day, because I've researched some information about that. But go ahead.
Right. And he was able to purchase a number of tax liens where when he lost, you know, he lost a couple of $1 million and owed another million. He was able to live at the houses that he had purchased while he was successful in his business and live there for free. And also the houses that he didn't actually live in, he was able to rent out and bring in residual income. Those mentorships are very key to have. If you're able to have those people give you advice that have been through it and lost and came back, I mean, that's the best kind of mentorship to me.
I agree. I totally agree. And, oh, my gosh, you're blowing my mind with all these jargons. I know and you know, but a lot of people don't know residual income. That is a whole other show. Yes, that we will definitely get into. But
you know what? We're branding entrepreneurialism, talking about it, because, you know, when you want to become an entrepreneur, there's a brand image to successful entrepreneurship. You know, you read Robert Kiyosaki, you read a lot of these guys, Charles Kimbrough, you know, they'll tell you. There's certain things that a lot of entrepreneurs that are successful have in common. So we're branding entrepreneurialism right now.
You're very, very right. I agree. And it's important to me, again, to get this information out. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Build, Grow, and Enjoy Network. We have Ross Dixon on the show today. He is coming and bringing his expertise about branding, being an entrepreneur, and what it takes to be successful. And we're talking about having a mentor. Let's talk a little bit more about personal development. I try to read a lot of books, so they not only just read them but also incorporate them into my everyday life. It's not always easy because life happens, but You have to make time for those things that are important to you. You have to manage your time because at the end of the day, time is money. And I can't be wasting any money or any time. Talk a little bit about your experience and how important it is to do personal development and what that takes and how you have to discipline yourself to do it.
In American society, you know, we live in a microwave society. Everybody wants what they want instantly. You have to change your whole mindset, first of all, if you're just trying to become an entrepreneur, because nothing in it is instantly. A lot of it, you know, is 2, 3, 4, 5 years in development. It takes 7 years to master something. The discipline to be patient and to also not be anxious in the development of your business is key. The mindset also, I remember one time when I was at a gas station, I seen Ted Turner, the owner of TNT and Turner Broadcasting, in a station wagon with some sandals on. And nobody recognized him. I recognized him, though, because I knew what he looked like. But he was simply living, and he was blending in to the point where people didn't even know they were next to a billionaire.
Undercover billionaires. They're all around us.
Billionaires. Right.
Undercover.
And because, you know, he wasn't in a Maserati and riding on 24s and, you know, coming out in Gucci and Prada, and like people didn't really take mind to him. But at the same time, that's the difference. Wealth whispers. Most of the time, you're not going to know who's really successful. And in the business of being a business owner, entrepreneur, I mean, I come across people all the time. I'd be like, wow, like I would never expect that person to do what they say they're doing. Just realizing that, you know.
But I like what you just said. I don't want to miss any nuggets that you're giving. You said wealth whispers.
Yeah, whispers.
That is so deep. It is so deep because you're right. Most of the people that I know, a couple of millionaires, and they drive nice cars, but they don't drive around bling-blinging and having on all their jewelry and walking around in designer clothes all the time. They're very, very humble and modest. Because I think, and this is me, and from dealing with them, is they worked hard to obtain the things that they have. And so
Right. Flossing
it, so just so basically somebody can hate on them and then take it from them. Human nature automatically has this innate trait inside of them to be jealous and hate on people that are doing well. So they try to keep low-key, under the radar. Not because they're trying to hide their stuff. It's just because they're humble and they work hard for what they have. So I love that you said that. Well, whispers. That is so profound.
Yeah, it's true though. The mindset versus, you know, being on television and what constantly bombarded upon us is two totally different realities when you're a business owner. Unless you're in the entertainment business, whereas you have to have nice things to attract to people, because that's in the mindset of what they're thinking. That's a one particular instance, but for the most part, you just want to have a humble mindset. You want to be able to not scare people off with flamboyant behavior. You want to be able to attract advice from any and everybody, because you never know who's going to help you take it to another level.
Exactly.
So, you know, being humble, yeah.
Exactly.
And being disciplined, you know, in your trait, you know, going and doing your due diligence, research, and going and seeking mentorships. The whole nine, you have to do it like a regiment. You pace yourself. It's a marathon. So
it is a marathon.
That's what I have to say about, you know, this.
You're giving me so much wonderful information right now. It's like taking a deep breath and letting it out slowly. A lot of people, you are right, they want everything right now, this instant. So they can't put the long haul in when it requires them to be consistent. And, you know, and a lot of the things that we're talking about are a lot of the character traits of social media and branding and entrepreneurialism. So that's why I kind of want to get more into being consistent, getting up and doing those things that you don't want to do. And then when you find that something doesn't work, you reassess, you change, and you try it again. You keep it moving. And then pouring into yourself, our eyes and our ears are so powerful in our mouth. Are so powerful.
Right.
We have to be careful what we take in, what we look at, and what we speak out of our mouth, because it will be the death or the life of our businesses. And that's a whole another spiritual implication, but it all ties in together with having a successful business, with having a successful mindset. I truly believe a lot of us are just leaders. It's just ingrained in us. It's how God wired us. And then some people aren't. You put them in those positions they can learn how to be a leader, but it's not the same. It's not the same. I mean, they'll be successful at it or whatever, but it's not the same. And I think all these components are very important in becoming an entrepreneur. You have to have the mindset. That's another thing I teach my clients when I consult with them on social media. First thing we have is a discussion about, okay, are you mentally prepared to do this? Because if you're not mentally prepared to do this, it's not going to work. If you're not mentally prepared to say, okay, I have a checklist. I need to get up. I need to check my Google Alerts. I need to check my NetVibe. I need to check who's emailed me. I have found a lot of business owners are not ready for social media, even though it's been out here for 10 years. They're not ready because it is
they don't have the capacity
dynamic.
To fulfill the orders.
Exactly, and it's dynamic. It's dynamic. You're very right. They don't have the capacity to fulfill the orders. And then I've come across a lot of people that don't see the value in it, which is why you have to bring it to them and let them know, you know what, you got to change your paradigm. You have to change and shift your paradigm. All of the components that are incorporated in being an entrepreneur, regardless of what field or industry or genre you're in, like I think you said earlier, all of the entrepreneurs
have similar traits, yeah.
Exactly, have similar traits. And that's why it's important that if you're not ready to, like, you literally have to give up your life just for a time being, and it might not be very long, 3 to 5 to 7 years, like you said, to pour into your business, into the vision, to the dream that you have in being successful and being an entrepreneur. Or trying to brand yourself.
I think you touched on something real key, too. I think you brought up the word adaptation. As a business owner getting started, I mean, that needs to be like your motto, like adapting. I will adapt. Because if you're not willing to adapt to, you know, the changes and stuff, because, I mean, just 2 years ago, I don't even think Instagram existed. Now everybody's trying to use Instagram to, you know, market themselves. But as a social media marketer, you know, I have to learn how to do it, too, even though I might think it's ridiculous. But, you know, that's
exactly.
Part of adapting to what's going on around you and being able to, you know, saying just stay, you know, in the dynamic of your industry.
Exactly. And I agree because I feel like as soon as I got hold of one thing, here comes something else. And so then you're
exactly.
Right. You have to be in that mindset, whatever industry, or it doesn't have to be social media, it doesn't have to be branding, it doesn't have to be a publicist, it doesn't have to be PR, it could be a boutique, it could be, I mean, because with boutiques, the styles change. It could be music, with music, styles change. We talked a little bit about adapting. Change is not change until you've actually changed. So you can't think about it, you can't say I want to do it, you actually have to plan for it. Change and actually go towards that direction. You know, if you have to do it about faith, do it about faith. But always reassess, reevaluate, and keep it moving.
Yeah, I like that.
Yes. That is why I named my company Social Media Evolution. Advertising and marketing is taking such a change, and I find people are so stubborn about, I'm just going to do newspaper, and I'm just going to do magazines. Okay, those things are great. But everybody can still access the internet and read the newspaper and read a magazine. My slogan is don't get left behind solely depending on the old paradigms. You have to change. You have to change your mindset. You have to go where the people are going. And people are headed
and
towards
the internet.
And
that stuff is more expensive than doing social media, by the way. Because
yeah,
I pretty much sold advertising for all of those. I can tell you if you're buying a quarter page ad in most relevant city newspapers, you're spending about $600. If you put that $600 into social media, you'll definitely get more bang for your buck.
Definitely. Most definitely. Yes.
Cut out the middleman,
okay.
You know?
Yes. Again, when you're doing a business, that's something else. Oh, my gosh, I could go on and on about starting a business, entrepreneurialism. There's so many components you have to think about. You have to get your target market. Again, it goes back to your niche, and you have to know who you're marketing to and you even have to know who your competitors are. I mean, not that you're in competition with them, really, because at the end of the day, there's 900 billion people on the face of this earth. There's enough out there for all of us. Make sure that you keep up with, again, that adaptation, that changing. Keep up with what's going on. And you want to be the forefront. So that's another reason why you should know what your competition is doing, to stay ahead of the game. I guess that is being in competition with them, isn't it, Ross?
Right. Well, I mean, it's friendly competition. I mean, in my building, my brand, I pretty much befriended all the people that was within my industry to do events and, you know, come together to build capacity to the point where we were able to jointly create such a buzz that individually all of us were recognized and we could all go our separate ways after our campaign. So it just matters on your strategy. That's the way I ran my company with Diamond Roots. Everything was pretty much using other companies that were already well established as catalysts to push my brand and then leveraging with people within my industry to partner up with them to do different initiatives and campaigns just to gain more notoriety amongst the city and let everybody know that we're here to stay. So
I agree. And if you're just tuning in to Socially Yours, I have Ross Dixon on the line. He's talking about entrepreneurialism, branding, and being in the mindset of being an entrepreneur and what it takes to really make it in this industry. And it takes strategy. We just talked a little bit about strategy. And I like what you said, Ross. If you come together collectively and have a strategy, you'll be amazed at how much more successful you can be as a business owner if you actually glean from those that were in the same industry as you are. And I've done the same thing. I like what you said about having a strategy, having a game plan, having a goal to move towards, so that you can become successful.
Like you said, there's a big consumer market, and everybody can eat. It's just a matter of building capacity. See, a lot of times people, they have their egos or they have something in their mind that's like, you know, I just want to have all the limelight on me and I want to share it. But that's not how we become successful as a community.
Yeah.
Becoming successful as a community means, you know, all the businesses are able to strive. Everybody's able to have what they need to survive, and everybody's able to be successful. In my opinion, the people that are most successful in business are the people that can adapt, that can relate to people that's in their industry, like-minded people, and is able to build with them. That's in a mindset that sometimes has to be learned, but it's a mindset about building capacity and building community. As a business owner, I mean, like, I am all about building community. I'm in business, yes, to make money, but I'm also in business to be able to offer jobs to people in my community. So they're able to make money and they can be able to provide for their families. But that's part of branding, letting people know that, look, I'm about the community, I'm about the bigger picture. And I'm building my business, but I'm building on the platform where, you know, everybody can share and everybody can be successful. If you get people to buy into that, I mean, you're going to definitely be successful as a business owner. So.
And totally agree. And it falls in line to the vision and the mission of Build, Grow, and Enjoy. And that is to educate, empower, inspire, and encourage communities across the globe to thrive and leave a legacy through shared expertise. And if we don't take care of the people, they can't take care of us, and therefore we can't thrive. And I'm so glad you have that same mindset. And we are not even close to finish because there's so many components to being in business.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, people want to know how they can make money, and they want to know the specifics of the strategies that we use. I know that. And we also have some social media strategies and email database collection strategies. So, but this is just laying the foundation. So I'm definitely interested in coming back on.
If anybody needed to find your business, get in touch with you, Ross. How can they go about doing that?
They can visit www.diamondroots.com, and that's spelled DIAMONDROOTS. Also, we're doing an event in Las Vegas for all my sexy urban professionals that want to come out. It's called Urban Hangover 2, and we're actually, you know, bringing together people, like I said, building capacity, different marketers and PR people from around the nation, and everybody's pushing their audiences and their crowds and their networks of business people to Las Vegas for a fun-filled weekend. So, you know, they can also visit www.urbanhangover.com.
And if you didn't get any of that, you can always go to buildgrowandenjoy.com. It will be posted on our website. And until next time, I am socially yours. Thank you for tuning in.
We would like to thank you for joining in to Socially Yours. Please tune in next time to Socially Yours with your host, Jamie Wilborn. Socially Yours is brought to you by PGE Radio. Sound and audio by Unorthodox Podcast.